Blog Talk Radio.
I am Cynthia Johnson, your host this morning. I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson, also co-hosting with me. And in the chat room, we will have Gloria Wells moderating the chat room this morning. Welcome, Dr. Reggie. How are you?
That's a good question.
Really?
I feel kind of here and kind of out at the same time. It's a really strange vibration.
Wow. I know we have, I'm just praying for your healing this morning.
Thank you.
Today we're going to, I'm going to take us back in to Eric Butterworth's book. Actually, you guys haven't read it. I have, so that's why I'm saying I'm taking you back. But, Eric Butterworth has written a book called Discover the Power Within You, and I wanted to teach from that lesson, from that book today, about the greatest discovery. And the reason I'm going to read from this book throughout the week and pick and choose different lessons from it is because our next book, which we start next week, Spiritual Partnership, The Journey to Authentic Power, is dealing with power. And here Eric Butterworth is telling us that there is a power within you. And so I want to lay the foundation. And you guys, if you've all been with us through all the books that all of our book studies, I have sequentially lined them up. But because some people, we have so many new people joining Circles of Prosperity, I'm going back and trying to lay some of the key points or the key as foundation to take us into our next book study. So that's what will happen this week, okay? I am also encouraging discussion this week. So please, at any time, if you have a thought or a comment, write it down and press number one on your telephone keypad so that I can get to you and we can share and have a discussion. Okay? I totally encourage that. And if you're in the chat room, I encourage you to type up your questions there, and we will get them answered. So I want to create more of a discussion environment this week because it's important that you understand these lessons. Dr. Reggie, do you feel like doing our morning prayer this morning?
Mm-hmm.
All right, precious. We're going to go into our morning prayer.
Thank you, Father, for yet another day, the start of a brand new week. Let us embark in love, in confidence, in upliftment, and in power, especially in wisdom, as we're given promptings by the Holy Spirit. Give us utterance and holy utterance to discuss these wonderful principles that we're learning. Other people who are listening can also share so they can also gain a valuable part of their own knowledge and a testimony of their whole spirit in you. We thank you that we have the opportunity to share these lessons with everyone who listens. And we thank you for the growth that's now even growing more exponentially every single day, and that people are learning to love and walk in wisdom. We're not doing it from a place of ego, from a place of God, your energy, and that's the radio station we always want to be on. We're always tuned to the frequency of God. We thank you so much that we're in a place of upliftment and empowerment, and we hope others are doing the same. Let them share. Give them the prompting of the Holy Spirit. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. Okay, so let's talk about the great discovery. About 100 generations ago, in far off Palestine, something happened that may well be the greatest event in human history. It was the great breakthrough in man to the world of the spirit within. It happened to a young lad, a son of a simple carpenter. His name was Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary of Nazareth. And this was no ordinary boy. He was not unusual in the eyes of his neighbors. Many years later, he returned to Nazareth and was rejected by the people. In essence, they said, "What's so special about Jesus? We knew him as a boy in the carpenter shop." Much has been made over the manner of his birth. The Bible seems to indicate that his fellow townspeople knew nothing unusual about the incident. And thus the great event was not the birth of Jesus, but a kind of awakening that took place within him during the years of his growth in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. We don't know when it happened or even what happened. We only know that sometime between his birth and the beginning of his miracle-working ministry at 30 years of age, he achieved a unique relationship with God. And he became the channel for the expression of powers no one had ever before dreamed of. And many believe it was the result of his education. And this is puzzling, too, for we have little knowledge of his life. And some have conjectured that he must have had some exposure to the masters of the world of the intellect, like in India or Egypt, or even some contact with the Druids in England. However, I believe that what happened had nothing to do with tuition, but was an intuition. An insight, a revelation. It could not have been taught, for there was no precedent. And I like to believe that it happened to him as a youth of about 11 or 12, because it could not have been experienced in the formed intellect of an adult. Jesus himself later said, to achieve this experience, one had to turn and become as a little child. So I can imagine the young boy, Jesus, spending many hours in the hills of Galilee, like any normal youth, pondering the wonders of the heavens, the sun and drifting clouds by day, the moon and stars by night. I can visualize him asking the question posed by the shepherd psalmist 1,000 years ago, "What is man?" And then one day it happened. Into the consciousness of this thoughtful lad came an idea that was so great that he probably didn't catch its full implications. It was the concept leading to the full realization of his unity with God. You know, there's a great philosopher that once said that an insight into the absolute unity of man with the divine is the profoundest knowledge that man can attain. It was this, but it was more. It was the great discovery of the world within, the breaking down of the middle wall of partition between man and God. And this was the beginning of the age of the Christ, the divinity of man. Because up to this point, man had existed in the consciousness of separation from God. He could pray to God. He could talk to God and receive help and guidance from him. But God was always out there, and man was always down here. But now, Jesus knew what the psalmist had implied when he said, "Be still and know I am God." And now he knew himself to be an expression of God, or the activity of God life and intelligence, pressing itself into visibility. And now he knew that the kingdom of God, the wealth of the universe, was within the depth, potential was within him. So we don't know how this great breakthrough was actually accomplished in Jesus, how long the process took, or when he achieved self-mastery. But we do know that when he made his appearance at the Jordan River to be baptized by John, he was a committed and polished teacher with the amazing message that the kingdom of God is within you. So the gospel of our Bible record, the story of this man, Jesus, and the miracle-working powers he revealed, the message of the gospels has been very misunderstood. They have been made to appear to say that Jesus was really God, taking the form of man, standing astride the world like a great Colossus with the bolts of heaven in his hands. And all this fails to take into account his great discovery. And it fails to catch the real theme of his teaching, which is the truth of the divinity of man. So what is that saying? The truth of your divinity. This is your story. Jesus represents your story. Who you are. Everything that he was is who you are. Jesus was not a worker of magic, a performer of feats of the miraculous. He was essentially a teacher. Yes, he demonstrated unusual power, even over the elements. But he explained that this was an evidence of the power that comes to any man when he makes the discovery in himself of the great within. Jesus' goal was to help everyone, to help you and to help me, to understand the great potential within the Adam man, and to help us make the breakthrough for ourselves. His entire teaching was shorn of the theological embellishments that have been added. But his entire teaching is a simple outline of the techniques by which we can release our own innate potential and be transformed by the power of our own divinity. He said this, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father." So in other words, if you have faith in the God potential locked within the Adam man, which is yourself, as I have faith in that power that's within me, then you can do all I have done and more because I have made this great discovery. And unless we catch this point, unless we can appreciate and accept this greatest discovery of all time, then we lose the thread of the tapestry of the gospel and we build our churches and our personal faith on shifting sands. Because if we recognize this vital and dynamic truth of man's spiritual unity with God, if we know that man is God's beloved child, endowed with his intelligence, endowed with his life, endowed with his substance, and that he is the inheritor of a kingdom prepared for him from the foundation of the world, then all the rest of the gospel story, all the miracles and all the teachings, even the final overcoming of the resurrection, become purely academic. For they are all an outgrowth of this single greatest discovery. Kingdom of God is within you. And so here we are with this basic principle, the divinity of man. It is the dynamism of Christianity that can save the world and lead mankind to a new level of peace on earth and goodwill toward men. But without this principle, the Christian church may eventually deteriorate into a monument to man never understood and a message never applied. And its churches and cathedrals may become gaudy museums where tourists may see displayed the lavish ends to which man has gone in his eternal quest for truth and reality. But the amazing thing is that in each church can be found a Bible that contains Paul's speech on Mars Hill, in which he said, "The God that made the world and all things therein, he, being Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is he served by men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he himself giveth to all life and breath and all things, that they should seek God, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain even of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring." Wow. People talk about it all the time. You are a child of God. Have you ever contemplated what that means? Dr. Reggie says, you have God DNA. Dr. Reggie says, if the kingdom of within, if the kingdom is within, and it's a kingdom, then it must have a king. And it resides within you. Just breathe this morning and contemplate that truth. I've often said to you, what do you have to fear? If God's DNA is running through your veins, if that powerful kingdom, the source and the creator of everything in the universe, the multiverse, the cosmos, on this planet, if that is flowing through your veins, what do you have to fear? Why would you waste that powerful energy with inside of you to say that you are a failure? Self-sabotage. Why would you seek approval from anyone? Why can't you embrace that power and be empowered? You are a gift. Your life is a gift. Your life is a gift. Jesus discovered his own divinity, his unique relationship with the infinite. He discovered that though through faith, he could open doors into the inexhaustible mind of God, finding renewed creativity, a flow of powerful ideas, a perception beyond the comprehension of the Adam man of his day or ours. And yet he realized that this is a universe of law and order. And he knew, as no other man had, that what God has done, God can do. That was true of him, must be potentially true of all men. And Charles Fillmore, and he was a great spiritual giant of the 20th century, he said, this is what he said about Jesus. He was more than Jesus of Nazareth, more than any other man who ever lived on earth. He was more than man, as we understand the appellation of in this everyday use, because there came into his manhood a factor to which most men are strangers. And this factor was the Christ consciousness. The unfoldment of this consciousness made Jesus, this unfoldment of this consciousness by Jesus made him God incarnate, because Christ is the mind of God individualized. And we cannot separate Jesus Christ from God, or tell where man leaves off and God begins in him. To say that we are men as Jesus was a man is not exactly true, because he had dropped the personal consciousness by which we separate ourselves from our true God self. He became consciously one with the absolute principle of being. And he proved in his resurrection and ascension that he had no consciousness separate from that of being. Therefore, he was this being to all intent and purposes. Yet he attained no more than what is expected of every one of us. And I will be honest with you. Since I was in my early teens, the scripture that said, "Why do you marvel at the things that I do? You can do these things, you'll do these things and greater." It has always stuck with me, and I wonder I understood what he meant, but how do I get there? How do I get there? And that's the question I want you to ask. How do I move into that place where I know that I and my Father are one? There is no separation. How do I get there where I am empowered? How do I get there when I can look at any situation and say, "Peace, be still"? How can I declare what I want to manifest and have it instantaneously manifest? How do I do that? And that's what keeps me on this path. Because Jesus, to me, represents what I can become. An empowered human being. A loving human being. Because when he becomes the object of our worship, he ceases to be the way to shore. I think this is a good time to open the floor up for discussion if you guys have questions or comments. regarding this lesson. Jesus came at a time when the wall of separation between man and God was high and wide. Oh, okay. Wait, hold on. Let's see what we have here. Good morning, 3331. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Cynthia. Good morning, Dr. Reggie.
Good morning, Jeannie. Hold on. Let me turn Dr. Reggie's mic on. Hi. Yes.
Good morning, Jeannie.
Good morning. Cynthia, thank you for the lesson this morning of letting us know about the Christ conscious. It's such a wonderful lesson. And just to be awakened to know that the divine is within.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. It's huge. How many of you are having trouble recognizing that you are divine? How many of you feel uncomfortable saying that? Anyone? Press 1 on your telephone keypad. Dr. Reagan?
Yes. Yes? Okay.
You know, young people, and I'm going to share this about in terms of relationships and how I began to understand that I was divine. I was in a relationship prior to meeting Dr. Reggie, and it wasn't going very well. It was up and down, in and out. And then I met Dr. Reggie, and truth to be honest, our relationship was really all our spiritual things. Our first meeting, and we would read, and we continued this throughout. We would read together and have discussions. And, of course, as many of you know, that's exactly how Circles of Prosperity was born, to just pick up a book, take a lesson, and discuss it, which is what we're doing this morning. And so with Dr. Reggie, that was our friendship. And he became my mentor and teacher. But there was a profound love that I had for him. And it was different. He was truly just a friend. But the love that I had for him was just amazing. Above, it was nothing I had ever experienced. So we're driving, we were driving next to the Hollywood Boulevard, Hollywood Bowl. And you kind of curve, you know, there's one where you go straight past the bowl and then the street forks for you to get on the freeway. And there's a light right there. And we stopped at the light. And at that light, listen to this synchronicity. Sitting about planes over from where we were, I saw the guy that I was dating in a car, and he was another one. Now, normally, I will tell you that my eyes were and angry, but I felt nothing. I felt nothing. I just said, oh, there's so-and-so, and he's in a car with another woman. And Reggie, I remember his face was panicked because he didn't know what I was going to do. And back then, I used to have fits of rage. And I turned to him, and I said, you know, if I cannot have what we have as friends in a relationship, then I don't want it. And that was the moment when I began to understand that there was a divinity within me that deserved more. God in me deserved more, deserved me to honor me. Not ego Cynthia, but that divinity that was within me. It deserved more. I began to love me. Not Cynthia, but the divine within me. And that was the greatest gift that Dr. Reggie brought to me. I value my life. So if you're a young woman and you're out here and you're trying to have these relationships and you're just, you know, wiggling your butt and think that you got all, you're all that, you know, you're beautiful, you're sexy, yes, that's a wonderful thing. But what makes you all of that is this divine energy flowing through you. And it deserves the best. Whatever man comes at you, they just, it should be the best for you. You don't settle for anything less than that. They need to honor that divine energy within you. You are a goddess. Don't throw it away. Don't give it away. It is to be honored and cherished. And even as women, we need to recognize that divine energy in men. And that energy must, they are gods. And we need to honor and respect that within them. So you see, what this society has brought about is they have redefined love as lust. Ooh, he's fine. Ooh, look at her. She's fine. Ooh, look at that rat she has. Lust. Great for procreating. But you have, this is a total human being. This is the energy of God standing before you. Can you look at that person and see that? And honor that. Because guess what? And we're going to talk about this as we move into spiritual partnership. When you move into that consciousness, you become equals. On the soul level, you become equals. And if any of you are around me and Dr. Reggie, you might hear us spat with each other. You probably even hear it on the phone or even feel it. But guess, if you look at our arguments or our little spats, it is always because he's trying to make me happy and I'm trying to make him happy. Oh, baby, you know, let me go get you some. No, don't go get me anything. Just sit here. Oh. Why can't I just, want to do this for you? It is always about serving and honoring the other. We're equal in that. We have people that come over to the house, and Dr. Reggie feeds everybody that comes to the house. And so I say, honey, let me make something. No, I don't want you working. But please, I really enjoy doing this. Let me do this for you. And we all, every Thursday and Saturday, the day before or the morning of, there's this little battle between us about who's going to, he doesn't want me to work too much, and I want to serve him and serve his guests. I want to prepare something. And I can only remember one time that we didn't have that battle, and that was about a week or so ago. He just, because I said to him, understand that I love doing this. I get my joy from doing this. And he backed out of the way. But he felt bad the whole time. He said, I got out of your way, but I felt bad about it the whole time. Because he wants me not to be overworked. And what a powerful expression of love. Something that simple. I'm so grateful for him. I'm so grateful for that divine energy that's flowing through him and that's flowing through me and flowing through you. And I hope today I've awakened you to that reality, to that truth, to that greatest discovery that is within you. Be still. And know that you are God. Good morning, 0411. You're on the air.
Greetings. Cynthia and Dr. Reggie.
Hey, Anthony, how are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored.
Are
I just
you?
Want, yes, truly. And
hang
the kingdom of God is in me.
Yes.
Is in me.
So you
truly.
Are.
Yeah, I am blessed and highly favored. And I wanted the whole audience and everyone else who is listening to know that there are men who believe that. Because generally speaking, it's mostly you women who get that and feel that in terms of the three dynamics, the spiritual, mental, and physical. Attraction must be there. But I appreciate the calls. And, yes, I have seen it with my own eyes. The spirit of which you and Dr. Reggie have, and I tell you, it is a testimony to what God would have us to have on this earth when it comes to a man and woman. But I thank you for this program. Last week was great, and I tell you, I see nothing less than what we have in store for this week. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. We love you. When are you coming back to Atlanta?
I will be there August 11th because a friend of mine is having a celebration, and I will be there then. I might be there before then, but I know that the weekend I will be there. That's definite.
All right. Well, we look forward to being with you.
I look forward to it.
All righty.
Love you.
Anyone else have a question or comment this morning? You can just press 1 on your telephone keypad. Okay, I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our closing prayer.
Thank you for everyone. Call this morning. We thank you for all the people who are listening in, everybody who is participating and sharing their knowledge and their joy as you express it through them. We are dynamically in love with the power that we have within us. Let it not be so simple that we forget to realize who we are. We are created by you. We are your divine creation, along with all your other divine creations in nature. Let us be a part of the whole, understanding our place in the whole, that we are the gods and goddesses in the making, angels in formation, dimensionalized spirits of who we are. We thank you that we're so blessed to love and to grow on every level. We believe it is so, and so it is.